Amen. That's good stuff. I like that. Jesus Messiah. Is he your Messiah? Yes. He's our Savior out of all of our problems and troubles. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we get ready to hear the word. Father, thank you for bringing us together to hear your word, to find wonderful truths that are in your word, to help us, encourage us, and strengthen us in our journey. We just give you the praise, glory, and honor. Guide my mouth and my heart to speak your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're talking about this month, your faith has made you whole. You know, you need to have faith in this world. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. We need faith to carry on. We need his faith because all the promises that he's given us are really kind of impossible to believe. What he's told us, he's going to heal our bodies, heal our souls, our minds, everything. He's going to do that for us. So it says here scripture? 1 Thessalonians 5:23, if we can have that, Anthony. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify," that means purify, "and restore you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." What a promise, that our mind will be blameless, that our hearts and our soul and our spirits will be preserved. And I looked at that word preserved. It doesn't mean just to look at. It means to attend to carefully, to take care of, to guard. He's watching over us to preserve us and to watch, make sure that nothing evil happens to us. Isn't that good news? I think that's good news. So we have to believe by faith that God is doing that for us, because we are a three-part being, are we not? Spirit, soul, and body. And so some people just marry the body. They like what they see. They said, I'm going to marry that girl. I'm going to marry that guy. And then they take them home and they say, wait a minute, what's the return policy on this? You know, the body's good, but the mind and everything out of the spirits is not good. It's not like going to Walmart. You know, you go to Walmart, they don't ask you any questions. You just turn it in, I don't like it. It's not to my liking. It doesn't work. And you can't do that with a wife or a husband. You have to stick with it and make it work out. Now, there's some extenuating circumstances, you know, if someone's, you know, being violent or whatever. But God really wants us to work it out, work out our own salvation, work out our marriage, right? That's what we're going to do this Friday. Learn how to work out the things that we don't agree on. Praise the Lord. I know when my wife and I first got married, you know, she would do it one way and I would do it another way. And we couldn't understand why that person could do it, even think about doing it that way. So we said, okay, let's do this. We'll do it your way one time, and I'll agree. And then we'll do it my way one time, and you agree with me. So she did it, and she succeeded. It worked. I go, I don't know how that worked. Then she said, okay, you try. So the next project, I took it on, and it succeeded. And she said, God helped you on that, because there's no way that could have ever happened. But what was the key? We were in agreement. We agreed together, and that's what happened. So that's good. So in God's eyes, he wants us to make it work out. So we're going to talk about the soulish realm. He wants to preserve our soul blameless. Now, what is our soul? The soul is the mind, the heart, and the will. It dictates what we think, what we feel, and what we choose to do. It's a part of our feelings, our desires, our affections. It's what we like doing. Where is our heart? God says, I want to have your whole heart. And that's a constant battle, because we get distracted and looking at other things. And God says, I want you your complete attention on him. Amen? So the Greek word for soul is psyche. That's where we get the word psychology. God has promised us that he would sanctify us, which means to restore and purify. Now, our soul, our mind, it's like a magnet. It picks up things, you know, that happen sometimes unconsciously. Things get into our spirit. If people hurt us or people say bad things about us, it kind of registers in us, and you carry it around, and maybe sometimes it affects, you know, the way you treat other people, because it's lodged in there. So I'm not a psychologist, but I've looked at people that have done research. Now check this out with the mind. The average adult human brain has the ability to store the equivalent of 2.1 million gigabytes. I don't know how much that is, but it's a lot, right? The normal, hard drive can only store 10,000 gigabytes. So you're never going to run out of memory space. Isn't that amazing? You could go 400. That's good news, right? I got some bad news coming up, but with that amount of space, you can live 450 years and still not run out of memory space. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Now, the problem is that as you get older, you lose your memory a little bit. You know, you ever talk to people and you're trying to get a sentence out of them, and they say, well, we went to that store. Where was that store? You know, the off the freeway, the 10. Yeah, I went with, who did I go with? I can't remember. We were going to return. And you're like, okay, what would have taken 5 minutes takes 15 minutes. But things get lodged in you. And here's the bad news. The best activity of your brain is at 20 years old. Isn't that? That's amazing. We're all, anybody 20 years old in your 20s? Anybody in your 20s? I know Christian is 20s. Okay. So as you get older, but here's the bad part for the 20-year-olds. You don't make wise decisions when you're 20. You can look back at your own life, oh, why was I doing that? Oh, that's crazy, right? So what would you rather trade? A little bit loss of memory and wisdom in your decisions, or have good memory and make crummy decisions? So like I said, we retain things all throughout our years. Now, for instance, songs that we remember. Let's see if you can fill in the blank on these songs. Ready? Nothing you can do can make me untrue to. There you go. All right. Now, it's been a while since you've heard that song, isn't it? It's down in there. How about this one? Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, right? Now, Marianne's brother has a bad experience with that song, with that, what is that, Sound of Music. Her mom made him go and listen to that musical, and it was torture for him. Oh, do I have to listen to that? Every time you mention Sound of Music, oh, no, that was a miserable experience. Okay, here's one that I think some of you might know. I'm just sitting at the dock of the bay. Wasting time, right. So, you got that one? Yeah. But how do you remember that? I don't know. But you ask you something that happened like last week, you go like, I don't know. Because you lose your memory. You can't retain it as you get older. You can't retain it for very long. But some things are just locked in there. Now, here's another statistic. Humans have an average of 70,000 thoughts per day. That's a lot, isn't it? Seems hard to believe, isn't it? So my question is, what are you thinking about? The Bible says that God's thoughts towards us are more numerous than the sand. God is thinking about us. He says, my thoughts towards you are for good and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. He's thinking good things about us. Praise God. We should start thinking good things. And so you can remember even the times that people have hurt you. Can you remember those times? And all the hurts, the pains, the disloyalty and the backstabbing and the cruel things that they... I know one lady, she said she had a boyfriend, and wound up dating her girlfriend. I mean, that's bad. Okay. This girl liked this guy, but her girlfriend started dating him, and it hurt her, you know? But she said, I prayed, and the Lord took away that hurt just like that. So you can take it away in seconds or weeks or months or years. It's up to you if you want to forget those things and let the Lord heal you and purify you. Praise God. I like to try to forget things right away. Amen? Whatever happened, happened. Okay, I would just, you know, toss it into the sea of forgetfulness. Move on, right? Otherwise, it's like dragging a dead person, a dead body with you all along. This person hurt me. I'm not going to let him go. I can remember what he said. No, it should fuel you to do good things. Praise God. Now, let's look at this. In Psalms 23, we're going to look at David. Now, David wasn't a very emotional guy. He was up and he's down and he's impulsive. But look what he says in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. He can be your shepherd. He can be everyone's shepherd, but he's also my shepherd. You have to make him your shepherd. Let him watch over you. We're the sheep of his pasture. God loves us with an everlasting love. Praise. I shall not want, I shall not lack any good things. What did David say? Are you blessed, David? My cup is running over. I got so many blessings, I don't know what to do with. Of course, he had some trouble. We all have trouble, but you got to look at the things that God is doing good for you. You have to be grateful. And when you're grateful, the bad things kind of wash out because you're thinking about what the good things God has done for you. Praise God. Now, he says, it makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, sheep don't like to lay down unless they're full, they're satisfied, they're comfortable, and they feel secure. Isn't that good news? Does God make you feel secure? Is he watching over you? Is he taking care of you? If he is, you can lay down. God, I love you, Jesus. Praise God. Okay, let's look at this. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep do not like to drink in turbulent waters. Do you like to drink in turbulent waters? Do you like to have trouble in your life? No, we want peace. Jesus said, I am the Prince of Peace. I'll come to give you peace in the midst of the storm. Praise God. So he says, he restores my soul. He restores it, brings it back to its original state. It renews it, just like a car. You know, when you detail a car or you restore a car, it looks brand new. No more scratches, no more dents. It looks even better than it was when it was first new. That's what God wants to do to our soul. Cleanse up all the evil, all the things that were said bad about us, and allow God to work in us, restore us, just as if it never happened. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's good news, isn't it? Because it says, if you do that, he'll lead you in the paths of righteousness. You can't make right decisions if your soul is hurt. If you're upset about things, you like this guy right here. Let's look at this guy right here. He's unraveled, isn't he? You think he can make a good decision? No. I don't think so. No, no way. So the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind to make good decisions. Praise the Lord. Now, how about sometimes you can just be going along. Everything is going good. You know, you're right on track. There's peace in your soul, like this businesswoman here. Oh, it's like she's perfect, okay? Not a problem in the world. Just everything. But when something goes wrong, let's see what happens to her now. Okay, now I don't know. You're not so happy anymore, right? Let's go back. Let's see how the calm person. There she is. Just everything. Is that you sometimes? Just everything's peachy keen, right? But let something bad happen. Let your husband do something bad. Let some tragedy come, or somebody tells you, you know, you owe so much money. There it is. Okay, well, we have to overcome that. But the Bible says that Jesus is the anchor of our soul. He makes us steady, steadfast, brings us together. We can know that we don't have to worry. We're settled in him. Amen? Now, I remember way back when I was just learning to be a pastor, they had this guy that had an anxiety attack at church. Anybody know what an anxiety attack is? I didn't know what it was. But you just kind of can't get your bearings, and you're mumbling, and you're upset. And so the pastor prayed for him, and nothing happened. He said, take him to the side room there and pray with him. Do something. So, okay, I took him, and the elders were there with me. We were praying, and nothing happened. Nothing we did was really registering with him. So guess what? We had to take him to the hospital. We took him to the hospital. They had the psychiatrist there. They had the doctors there. They were going to run some tests on him. They put him on a slab, and they gave him a cloth to wear. And they called his mom. And his mom came in, and she looked at him and said, Junior, get off that table. Get your clothes on. Let's go home. He got up, he put his clothes on, and he went home. So I asked the psychiatrist, what is that? How did that, what, where, explain to me. And he said, well, you see, what he found out was something that was secure that he knew. He knew his mother's voice. He could latch on to it. And so he was, you know, afraid of his mom and respected his mom. And so he snapped out of it. So guess what? If we're going through something that doesn't look like it's right, Jesus is the anchor of our soul. He's made us promises that we can hold on and latch on to. When things look like it's not working out, I got Jesus. I don't care what's happening. I got Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, I learned this. My wife said I never give up. I had to learn that. Even at a young age, when I was 10 years old, I was playing Little League baseball. And in practice, they hit, I was playing right field, they hit a long fly ball, and I went and backhanded and caught it, and it was just so easy, because, you know, I got a good grip. And so the game, we started our first game, and they hit the same exact ball out into right field, and I went to just go catch it, just be real relaxed and catch it, and I didn't realize that the new balls are slippery. They're slick. It just it slid out of my glove, and I was like, oh, my gosh, how'd that happen? And I was so depressed. Say that. So depressed. Here I am. I could have been the hero. And now I dropped the ball. And I was moping along for inning after inning. So depressed, discouraged. Oh, gosh. What am I going to do? I could. You can't take it back, right? You can't reverse it. So we're losing the game. And my friend gets up. And he hits a long fly ball, beautiful home run ball, just so pretty, out there in the sky. And I was still depressed. I go, oh, he gets all the credit. He's going to be the hero. And I learned, but we won the game. Okay, it's not about me. So I learned no matter what happens, God can turn it around quickly. You don't have to give up. You just keep playing. You'll see what God will do. Praise the Lord. I learned that with my dad. My dad can fix anything. He was an airline mechanic, but he was good at fixing things. And I was good at breaking things. And so we get along good. And so I was never worried about if anything broke. So we're, you know, playing in the neighborhood. We used to play on the lawns in those days. And a guy threw me a ball, and I hit it into the window. Well, the window broke. And you should have seen those guys run. Oh, my gosh. They just scattered. I never seen them run so fast in all my life. And I'm sitting there holding the bat because my dad can fix it. He can fix anything. What are you guys worried about? So my dad said, listen, son, I'm going to show you how to fix it because you're probably going to do this again. So he showed me how to fix it. It was beautiful. It was perfect. It wasn't a year later, I did the same thing in my friend's backyard that hit the home run. I did it to his backyard window. I went, shoo. And the ball went right in there, and so I fixed it. So I learned that, you know, don't be in disarray if things don't go right. Just wait a minute. Just hold on. God will bring it around. It'll be okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. He can fix anything. And he can fix whatever mess you made. Amen. That's good news. Take a pause break right there. Amen. You got things that need to be fixed? God can fix them. Amen. Don't give up. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I was playing basketball quite a while ago, and sometimes you have to be careful who you play with. Some guys are rough and tough, and they don't take no stuff. And so I was going for a layup, and I was up in the air. I was like, oh, man, I'm looking good. I was doing a Michael Jordan. And this guy didn't like it, and he pushed me in midair. And I'm going, oh, no. And I landed on my elbow, and the tip of my elbow cracked and broke off. And so I'm laying there, I'm going like, oh, this is a tough one. But my mind, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I go, I got to think of, what can I think of? I go, if they could fix Evel Knievel, who broke every bone in his body, surely they can fix my elbow. And sure enough, they did. It took them 4 hours to get to me. They got it fixed, but I never had a problem with it. They put a pin in there, and I've never felt it since. So God, no matter what you got into, God will help you. Praise God. So, Houston, we have a problem because we have emotions. How many of you have emotions? You guys, now, some of you can hide them really good. Amen? Some of you can hide them really good, but some can't. You know, if you ever look on the internet, people are going crazy. People are shooting people because their French fries are cold. I mean, this is ridiculous. They're fighting because someone took their parking spot. There's fights at family reunions. There's fights at weddings. What's all this pent-up emotions happening? So, 4 things we have to learn about emotions, okay? First of all, they're schizophrenic. They keep changing periodically. One moment, you like your job. You like your spouse. You like your children. And the next day, you don't like them so much anymore. You know, they bother you. They bother me. I don't know. Why did I get married? What? Whose kids are these anyway? You know? But then it changes. So they're schizophrenic. One day they make you feel one way, and the next day you're happy with them. Praise God. You can be mad at them, but then you introduce them to somebody. Oh, these are my grandkids. Aren't they beautiful? They're all in. What do they call that? When you can't go out They're all on probation. They're all on. but I love them. Praise God. So now, our feelings are unfaithful to you. They're not after your best interest. They don't really match up with really what your goals are, not what you really believe. They can cause problems. Our feelings don't care about the consequences. You can tell your boss, I'm through, okay? I've had it. I can't take it anymore. You got to go home and tell your wife and your kids, well, I quit my job, praise the Lord. No one can tell me what to do, amen. But what about the paycheck? Oh, yeah, well, we got to worry about that, praise God. So I know one lady, she was at an airport, and through the TSA, when you go through the TSA, and you know how sticky they are about everything? You know, oh, the lotion is over 6 ounces. You can't take that on board. You know, like, people are bringing in guns. Okay, what are you talking about? A little lotion. So this lady got all upset. She said, I want to see your supervisor. I go, you're crazy, lady. You know, you're going to be in jail. They're going to be talking to security. Don't you know where you're at? You got to know what the consequences are with the things that you do. Praise God. And so our feelings lead us to make bad decisions. So you have to harness your feelings. You got to control yourself. Praise God. The Bible says sound mind means self-control. Don't just say what you think all the time. Weigh it, because sometimes you may say something that you will regret. Amen? And you can't put toothpaste back in the tube, right? It's out there. You can't unscramble eggs. Once you've done it, now you got to work out. But that's what marriage is all about. You say things and you do things that hurt people, and then you got to say, you know, I'm really sorry. You're sorry, but why? What you said was really hurtful. I know. I don't know. There's something wrong with me. I don't know. Help me. So that's how you learn to love someone, when you have to go over the things that have hurt you. Because the person that you love the most is the person that you hurt the most, because they can feel it in their heart. Amen? So there's six causes of anger. You ready for them? Yeah. I hope this is helping you. I have a good ending, so if you can get through this, you're going to be okay. Okay. 6 causes of anger. Unpleasant past memories. How many of you have had a perfect life so far? No hurts, no pains, no people talking bad about you, no betrayals. We all have them, but they're supposed to make us stronger, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Then another one is unrealistic comparisons. You're not like my last girlfriend. You're not like my last boyfriend. You know, when we were first married, I wasn't real good at celebrating birthdays. And so my wife says, you know, my other boyfriends, they made a big deal about my birthdays. They would buy me presents for 3 days. You know what I said? Well, where are they now? For some reason, you didn't marry them. You married me, praise the Lord. Okay. I'm glad she's laughing, okay? Praise the Lord. Unrealized expectations. People are not as loyal as you want them to be. They're not doing what you want them to do. They're not there when you need them. Sometimes, you know, that's just the way they are. Unexpected, unrealized expectations. Another one is unexpected financial pressure. Doesn't that make you mad? Not happening. I remember when we first married, we were on a tight budget. I mean tight budget. I mean minus budget. My wife would say, let's have a birthday party for little Chucky. I go, he's 2 years old. He's not even going to remember it. What are you talking about? She said, well, it only costs $500. I go, $500? That's minus $500. And or if something broke in the house, and I would get so mad, I go, why did you break that? I don't know how to fix it. My dad's not around. What are we going to do? Unexpected financial pressure. How about unresolved conflict? Not talking about it, not getting it out. And it comes up in little things. Sometimes, you know, you're at work and you get harassed, and you come home and you take it out on your family. Nobody in this place. Okay, praise God. Uncertainty of the future. Don't you get mad when things don't go right and you say, this is not in my plan. I wanted this to be a certain way and it's not. And you get angry. And the Bible says the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. When you get angry, God said, I can't work. I can't handle what you're doing. I can't step in because you're all so mad. Praise God. So here's 3 ways to react. You ready? Don't trust your feelings. Amen? Just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean you're supposed to act a certain way. You look for an example in the Bible. And I want to show you this guy. This guy's a good demonstration of how to hold, keep your cool. Listen, I mean, could you hold up under that? I've had to do that at work. People say mean things, and they say hurtful things, and they're loud, and they say it, and you just have to. I tell the story that my friend, for the new visitors here, at my other job, I had 1 year left to retire. And so my friend, he's not really a friend, but anyway, he said, there's 10 people here that don't like you. I go, really? Who are they? He goes, I don't want to tell you. I go, I can name five at least. Because I wasn't paying attention to them. I wasn't listening to their stuff, you know, their low stuff. And I said, okay, I'm going to change that. So for 1 year, I listened to their stuff. I got in their life and their business and what they were doing. I was kind to them. I was loving them. I was helping them. And after the 1 year when I left, as I retired, I got a standing ovation as I came in and a standing ovation as I left. Arturo, you were there, remember? That's how it went? Yeah. That's 65 people giving you a standing ovation. I was crying. I couldn't believe it. Because I touch someone's heart. I touch each and everyone's heart, praise the Lord. So don't trust your feelings. I could have got upset and said, oh, pooey on them. Don't you feel like doing that? Well, if that's the way they're going to be, I'm not going to pay them any attention. Praise God, no. Okay, then you talk to the Lord about the situation. Lord, what's happening here? What do they have a problem? Do I have a problem? How do I correct myself? How do I change? What do I do? Do I ask for forgiveness? Of course, you always ask for forgiveness, don't you? Amen. Then you act on the word. Praise God. You have to say, what does the word say? Am I supposed to forgive? Am I supposed to be loving? Am I supposed to repay good for evil? Someone's doing evil to me. I want to do good. Watch God. And God will work in their behalf. Amen. So in Romans 12:2, we're getting close to the good part, the really good part. You ready for the really good part? Okay. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to renew your mind, make it a new mind. You have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to be like him. Amen? We have the mind of Christ, and we have to have faith in that. So how do you control your mouth? Let's look at this in Philippians 4:8. And here's what you do. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. Think on them and say those things. Well, you might say, well, so-and-so got fired on their job. Well, do you want to tell people that? Well, it's true, right? It's honest. It's just. Is it pure? Not so much. Is it lovely? Is that a lovely thing to say? No. Or do you say, well, they deserved it. You know, they're just no good. I don't know what they're crazy, you know. Is it a good report? No. Is there any praise? Would you get up here and testify? Well, so-and-so got fired on their job. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to you. Oh. So as a man, you have to study. To say what to say, to think about what to say. You got to think on these things. The Bible says the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. You don't just quick, flippant say something. You say, wait a minute, how can I say this right? We were driving with my son. I was in the back seat. And he wasn't paying attention. He was talking to Marianne. And he got behind a truck in the slow lane. And we're probably going 50 miles an hour. And my old self would have said, can you just move over? Instead of being, you know, stuck behind this truck. Instead, I thought about it. I go, like, do you want to be behind this truck? And he goes, no, Dad. And he says, thank you for saying it that way. Just a little twist in what you're saying can make a difference. The tone, the love that you have. Praise God. So here's the good part. Are you ready for this? Now, Numbers 6, verse 24 and 26. And you've heard this prayer. This is the prayer that God told Aaron to bless the children of Israel. You know this prayer? Okay, but I'm going to show you something that I didn't know. the Word of God is so rich, so deep that you can dive into it and find things that you didn't know that was there. And when I found this, I said, oh my gosh. Look, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, this is all good, and it's a nice little prayer. But what it means, if you look it up in the Greek or Hebrew in the Old Testament, the face to shine upon you means to lighten someone's countenance, to make cheerful, especially used by God to be favorably disposed towards someone, to make them joyful, to give them light. Okay? So it's kind of like, you know, when you have a little baby and you want to make them happy and you put your face there and you go, hey, little baby, how you doing, little guy? Yeah, he likes me, okay? How you doing? And that's what God's doing to us. He's putting his face down towards us and shining upon us and giving us peace, giving us joy, giving us cheer. Because this is a tough world that we live in here. We need him to be there. Now, here's what do they call it? Commentary. Let's listen to this. Just as the sun, when it rises and diffuses its rich glory and soft light over all the world, it merely lifts up his face. He merely lifts up his face upon the whole world. So when God gives his word, he causes his face to shine clearly and joyously upon all minds and makes them joyful and light. As it were, new hearts and new men. For it brings forgiveness of sins and shows God as a gracious and merciful Father who pities and sympathizes with our grief and our sorrow. So God doesn't want us to be sorrowful. He wants to make his face to shine upon us. He wants his countenance to be with us so that we can have a joyful, cheerful smile. I like to see people when they come into church, they have joy in their hearts. They have a smile on their face. Why? Because they've just been in the presence of the Lord. Wasn't that the way Moses was? Moses was in the presence of the Lord, and he came down, and they said, man, your face is shining, man. Where you been? I've been with the glory of the Lord. And the Bible says we can have that same glory. In 2 Corinthians, it says that we can shine that of a glow that never fades out, never gives up, continues to be. So we just have to keep renewing and let the Lord's face shine upon you. Last scripture, it says, in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, for it is God who commandeth light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So God wants to shine his face upon us. Let's just close our eyes and receive that from him. Father, I just thank you that you shine your face upon your people so that they may have joy and peace in all that they do. No matter what they're facing on the outside, we thank you, Lord, that your face is with them, that you have a future and you have a hope for them. No matter what they've encountered, you have an answer and you'll give them the answer. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just want to take a moment.